Well, good evening, friends. If you keep that passage open in front of you and the inside of our order, we have the sermon outline there for us. It's a very simple one this evening, because in one sense, there's a very simple passage. The healing ministry is about prayer, because God is the one who brings healing. All healing and any healing is always comes from God, the Father, from whom there is no shadow of darkness, and who brings every good gift that there is for us. And healing comes because God chooses to bring it upon us. And so what we do in a healing service is pray. Prayer lies at the heart of what we're doing. Well, God lies at the heart of what we're doing. But prayer is what we do to bring God into our lives, to call upon God for his mercy, for his kindness, for his healing. And so prayer is fundamental to the ministry of this gathering and our work at Golden Grove. Before we meet, during our meeting, after we're meeting, we pray. We keep praying, because prayer is really what we're about, where it's at. We call upon our Heavenly Father to save us, to rescue us, to heal us, to restore us, to bring to us new health, to bring to us fresh spirit and heart and hope for our future and for our lives. Prayer is at the very heart of what we're doing. And in a little while tonight, we will spend time praying with each other and praying for each other and praying for you individually. If you're a newcomer amongst us, praying for you personally and individually for whatever problem of life you need God's touch, God's healing hand to be upon you. So therefore, it's pretty important we get clear about prayer. What is prayer? What are we doing? How do we do it? And here is some of the teaching of Jesus on prayer. If anyone knows about prayer, it's the Lord Jesus. And so here's some teaching on prayer from the Lord Jesus. But even before we get there, let me help you just with the definition of prayer, just the meanings of the word prayer that would be helpful for us. Two aspects of it in particular I draw your attention to. Firstly, prayer is faith expressed. Prayer involves speaking in the Bible. You always speak in prayer. It's not silent. It's an activity of actually speaking. You can speak internally in your own mind, but it's speaking to God. It's expressing yourself to God. It's calling upon God. It's talking to God. It's always involves speaking. But what we're speaking when we pray is faith. For faith is depending upon God, relying upon God, trusting God. And that's what we do when we pray. We say, Heavenly Father, here is my problem, whatever the problem may be. Here is my problem, and I want you to look after it. I want you to deal with it. I want to hand it over to you. I want to entrust it to you. Please help me with this issue, or with that issue, or with some other issue. And so in my sickness, I'll say, Heavenly Father, I don't want to be sick like this. I can't heal myself. I can't cure myself. You and you only can heal me. Please heal me. You see, I'm expressing my faith in God. I'm depending upon God. I'm trusting God. But I'm expressing it. For I trust God anytime, all the time. But when I'm praying, I'm telling God that I'm trusting him by asking him to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And so prayer is dependence upon God speaking. So it's speaking our dependence on God. Second thing to say about prayer is that in the Bible there's about 7 or 8 different words for prayer. But every one of them are non-religious words, and every one of them means to ask. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Because we got one word, prayer, but the Hebrew and the Greek have all these other words, but they're different words of saying asking. And even funnier is, and we can check out with our word wit Kel Richards afterwards, the word prayer in English used to mean ask. We only use it now sometimes in very formal versions. We make a petition to the government and we will pray that the government will do this for us, or pray that the government will do that for us, which means asking. And so whenever we pray, we're asking God for things. Now, some people think that that's treating God like a servant. Well, it's not. We're not telling God anything. We're asking him. And some people feel, well, it's like going to God with a shopping list of, I want this, I want that, I want, I want, I want, I want. But it brings honour and glory when we ask God for things, because we're saying, God, you are in charge of this. Can you give it to me? You are in charge of that. Can you give it to me? Is it all right to pray for a parking spot when you drive your car? Well, of course it is. I know that Town Hall thinks they're in charge of the parking lots, but they're not really. It's God, our Heavenly Father, who's in charge of them. He'll open up one for me if I need it, and he'll actually not open up one for me if he wants me to teach me to catch the train. But he will do what is best for me. He is in charge of everything, and he cares for me about everything. Because he's in the charge of me for everything, and because he cares about me in everything, there's nothing too small for me to ask him about, because he cares, for no matter how small it is. There's nothing too big to ask him about, because he can do anything. So whatever it is in life, I express my faith in him by asking him for things. And it brings glory to him that I would ask him to heal me of this, to resolve my tensions in my family, to help me to cope with the change in my work situation, to deal with the depression that is just overwhelming me, to ask for the pain to be removed from my body. It all brings glory to God that I would ask him to do it, for he is the sovereign one who can do it, and he is the caring one who will do it. That's why the Bible often speaks about, whenever you ask, ask with thanksgiving. Funnily, thanksgiving is not actually prayer. Because thanksgiving is not asking. Thanksgiving is saying thank you for what you've now given me. It's what you do after you've asked. And so the Bible keeps on saying, pray with thanksgiving. And we need to always remember, when we're asking for the next thing, to say thank you for the last things. Indeed, count your blessings, name them one by one, two by two, three by three. I won't sing the song for you that I learnt as a child, but I can see some of you are old enough that you learnt it also. But it was a right thing to teach me, and it was a right thing to teach every generation. We've got to keep counting our blessings, because sometimes the problems of life so overwhelm us that we forget that God has actually given us all this other host of stuff. And when we start thanking God, sometimes our problems get shrink back into perspective, and we realize, well, yes, I have got a terrible toothache at the moment, but you know, my teeth have been in my head for 60 years and they've never ached before, and I never thank God for one of those days, half an hour of pain, and I'm desperately complaining to him. I need to keep it in perspective sometimes, the good things that God has gives me, that I might cope with the painful things that come upon me. So prayer with thanksgiving is asking God for things, and in so doing, expressing our faith in God. What Jesus is dealing with in Matthew 6 are two errors in prayer. And I want to draw your attention to these errors in prayer, because although it's slightly negative, when you see the errors, it clarifies for you the positives. And so you'll see under point three, we're going to get to the great news about prayer, because that's the good bit. But we get to the great news by seeing the errors, because that's how Jesus taught. He taught two errors. Firstly, is the general error that you see in chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen for them. For then you'll have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And he illustrates that with almsgiving in verses 2 to 4, prayer in verses 5 to 15, and then fasting in verses 16 to 18. It's the prayer section that I draw attention to, in particular then verses 5 and 6.
When you pray, you mustn't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Now there's the hypocrisy. I'm praying, and when I'm praying, I look like I'm talking to God. But in actual fact, I'm doing it in such a way as to make sure that you all hear how prayerful I am, how spiritual I am, how superior I am as a Christian man. And so I'm paying real attention to you. I look like I'm talking to God, but I'm actually talking to you the whole time. And I'm looking that I want God's favour upon me, but actually I want your favour upon me. That, of course, is profound hypocrisy, isn't it? And what is promised to such people at the end of verse 5, truly I say they have received their reward. What's their reward? People will be impressed by them. If you think that's worth having, more fool you. That everybody's impressed by you, well, frankly, that's not worth the paper it's written on. But that's the reward you get. That's what you wanted, that's what you'll get. People think, oh, he's a really spiritual man. But of course you're not. But they'll think you are, and you'll fool them and you'll fool yourself. No. Verse 6. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray that your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. No. Genuine prayer is in one sense deeply and profoundly private prayer. Now that's not to say that you're not to pray on the street corners or not to pray in the synagogues, but you're not to pray conscious of other people. You pray conscious of God. The person you're speaking to is God. You may pray with others. In fact, we will pray with others. We've already prayed tonight with others, haven't we? And we will again tonight pray with others. But the important people we're praying with is not the others. The important person we're praying with is God. He's the one that we want to have hear our prayers. And when he hears our prayers, we're rewarded. How are we rewarded? Well, we don't get a little silver trophy to put on our mantelpiece and have our mother polish for the next 40 years. That's not a reward worth having. The reward we have is that God hears our prayers. And in his mercy, answers our prayers. That's the reward we wanted in praying to him. That's the reward we receive. Friends, praying with others can be complicated sometimes, can't it? Because we become conscious that, well, we've got to use the right words. And our prayers don't sound very kind of profound or deep. And you know, when Chris Allen prays, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. But when I pray, it doesn't sound like that at all. It's kind of fumbling along and bumbling along, and I don't know whether I've got the right words in the right order, and what happens if I say the wrong thing. And if you've ever felt that, silly you. Because you're praying concerned what others think of you. Don't worry about what the others think of you. There's only one person you've got to worry about. What does God think of you? That's the only one. And you know what? He doesn't speak in Elizabethan English. He did back in the Elizabethan times, but he doesn't today. And he can hear you in whatever language you want to come to him in. And he doesn't need long and complicated sentences. He doesn't need really profound subjunctive clauses. He doesn't need... He listens to you. He listens to what is in your heart that you are expressing in whatever few words you have. He's not impressed. You don't pray to impress. When we pray so as to impress other people, they've got to be impressive prayers, haven't they? When you pray to God, you don't have to impress anybody. You just have to say what's on your heart. That's all. In whatever words you have to say it in. It's wonderful news, isn't it? Because we think we've got to be really so super spiritual. We don't have to be at all. We've just got to be loving God, just trusting him. That's all it is. Do you remember when you were a child and you went and asked your father for something? You didn't worry too much about getting the right words, did you? You say, Dad, can you give me? That's what you might have been more formal, Father.
I never was, never called my father father once. I always just called him Dad. And I just say, Dad, can I have, please? And he'd say yes, or he'd say no, whatever was in my best interest. Well, as I spoke to my earthly father, so I'm to speak to my heavenly father. I've never met a child who is worried about how other people will hear him talk to his father when he asks for an ice cream. It's absurd. It's silly. Well, we're talking to our father. Our father in heaven, our father. Just speak to him. Whatever words you have. But don't speak so as to impress other people. Don't worry about what other people think about your prayers. There's no kind of test, there's no spiritual barometer on how wonderful his prayers are, or how that is not the way to ever pray. Now the second error is like it. It's there in verse 7 and 8.
Whereas the hypocrites, Jewish hypocrites basically, in verses 5 and 6, it's the non-Jewish, the pagans, who think they're going to be heard because of their many words.
Who think that God will only listen if I go on and on and on and on and on. That I've got to have long prayers to be listened to. A little short prayer like, please help me, that's not good enough. I've got to find 25 Bible verses to quote in my prayer to God, as if God doesn't know what's in the Bible already and needs me to instruct him a little bit. I've got to really make it as a big, long prayer. In fact, I've got to keep praying to him, keep praying to him, keep praying, because you know he's very old and he's forgetful. And dementia's obviously setting in. So I've got to keep reminding God of the things that I said yesterday and the day before and the day before. And he doesn't listen because of our many words. That is not how you get. You can't manipulate God. You can't coerce God. You can't nag God. There's no point to try and persuade God. You just ask God. For, frankly, he knows, as was said here, he knows what you need before you've asked. That is the God that we're speaking to. We're expressing our needs to him. He who knows our needs already. And so there's all kinds of books on prayer that make prayer infinitely more complicated than it is. There is nothing much more simple than prayer. It's just talking to your Father in heaven, asking him for what you want. That's what it's about. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You don't have to settle down into a particular posture. You don't have to go into a great quietness. You don't have to kind of go inside yourself and find your inner being. You don't have to hold your hands in one position or another position. You don't have to kneel or bow or stand. You can do all those things. The Bible mentions different things of people falling down, praying, bowing, praying, kneeling, praying, standing, praying. The one thing you can't do from the biblical point of view, of course, is do all of them at the same time. That would be very difficult. Because your bodily posture is not the critical thing about your prayer. Your spiritual posture is. But it's not deep, meditative, spiritual posture. It's just trust in your Heavenly Father. That's the posture. It's not big, complicated words. It's not impressive prayers. It's just plain prayers. Asking God. Because that's the great news of prayer. You see, God rewards, God hears, he acts, he responds, he gives to those who pray to him genuinely, sincerely, truthfully, honestly. Isn't that terrific news? It's not marvellous. Think about it for a moment, friends. The almighty ruler of the universe is listening to what you have to say. Not only listening to what you have to say, but responding to what you have to ask him by giving you what you've asked for. You couldn't get that out of Julia Gillard. You couldn't get that out of Barry O'Farrell. You know, we had a service here for the Queen's 60th celebration the other day, and we sent over to the Buckingham Palace a copy of the service, etc. We got back from the palace just yesterday a little letter thanking us from the Deputy Under Secretary, third class, fourth in the ring. It's not going to get to the Queen. It never will get to the Queen. Out of courtesy, we've sent it, but I guarantee that if it got past the gate, it did well. But the person who wrote to us, a very nice letter back, but you could tell that, you know, it was really an underling who dealt with us. But tonight, in this building, in your heart, in our minds, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler of the universe, is going to listen to what we say and reward our prayers by hearing and responding. This is a fantastic thing, really. This is it's incredible what is happening here. And more than that, I tell you what else is great news about it. God knows what we need already. And so we don't have to argue with him. We don't have to persuade him. We don't have to do kinds of things to impress him. We don't have to prove that he is going to listen by praying for 3 hours. He's not going to listen more at the end of 3 hours than he will after 3 minutes or 3 seconds. He knows what we need. He loves us to ask him for what we need, because in us asking him, we're expressing our faith in him, and he loves to give to those who ask. So we don't have to argue with him, persuade him, coerce him, manipulate him. None of those kinds of things. Just ask. That's all we've got to do. And therefore, there's nothing too big to ask for. There's nothing too small for God to be interested in. And there's nothing to be impressive about, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. This is great news, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful news? Our Heavenly Father wants us to pray to him, for he is all-powerful, all-knowing, a loving, generous Father who invites us into his throne room as his children to pray to him, to ask him. And that's why, of course, we must always thank him. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for everything you do for us, especially in particular for being there for us, listening to us, paying attention to we frail, feeble people that we are, with minds so limited and words so limited, you listen to us, Father. We thank you and praise you for this. And we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, that our sin can be wiped away, and that we don't come to you as a judge, but as a father. We don't come to you in your anger, but in your graciousness. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Spirit, the Spirit of your risen Son, Lord Jesus, that we can come to you and call you Father, for the Spirit can bring us this new birth, whereby we know Jesus as our Lord, and we know you as our Father. So thank you, Father, for making prayer possible for us sinners. And thank you, Father, for listening to our prayers out of your graciousness. And help us, Father, not to seek to be impressive to others, nor to be impressed by others, but to trust you in our prayers, Father, to hand matters over to you, and to accept your generous provision for us in every area and in any area of life. Please, Father, so pour your Spirit into us that we will always trust you and express our faith in you in prayerfulness. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.